You're reining them in. We're reining them in. Well, it's nice to be back. Lois and I had a week and a half of vacation, and we were in Vermont a few days and had a chance to visit with Keith and Lori Kohler, who moved to Vermont. And we didn't get up to their home. We'd wanted to. They have a lovely home in Vermont, and they've showed us some pictures, but they came down to our campsite. And so it was fun getting caught up with them. He had to laugh. He said, you know, God in Durham put me beside a pastor. He said, now the pastor lives across the road. I said, God's watching out for you. So they found a little church they're trying out several miles, just a few miles from their house, and he didn't know what he's going to do for work, and he literally fell into a really good job that he likes. Lori's job was portable anyway. All she needed was a phone and a computer. She can work from anywhere. So they're closer to their kids and grandkids. It's working out well, and I got to admit, there are pockets of Vermont that look really attractive to me. You know why? Yes, there's nothing there. No traffic. Keith says, you know, Lori and I get on the bike. We went down through the center back roads of Vermont, and he said, you know, we saw about five cars all day. Where we camped, we were right near Stowe. That wasn't the case because there's lots of vacationers near Stowe. That wasn't the spot, but still, beautiful. And then we had some time with family in New Hampshire, so it was good. So a lot going on, but this was the exciting part. It's Jeremy and Kristen now have a baby boy in the family, so that's pretty exciting. And mama and baby are home now. So, yeah, I'm really bugged because Krista was scheduled to sing today. I don't know why she's not here singing. Like, that's an excuse, but anyway. So that's good. Going through, but, you know, when I'm away, and I appreciate Pastor Rick's ministry last week. We were back here to support the Higgins family, and Pastor Rick was talking about, from Romans 1, the evidence all around us declares the glory of God, that there is a God, and He is real. None of this can happen by chance. It gets my blood pressure up to think they teach this as fact, that we're all just random chance, and which defies logic. It just does. It defies all mathematical probability. It's counter to the second law of thermodynamics, which we call entropy. Everything about it. There is microevolution. You know, some moths change their spots to adapt. That's within the species adaptation, but moths don't become chickens. Okay, that's a big jump when you go from a moth to a chicken. But I'm not going to work on that today, although that is always fun to work on and talk about. We're going back to our Bible series. Oh, that's right. Don put this in for me. Thank you. Eric Morris is out in New York today, and he is doing the Ironman Triathlon. This just defies logic. Before I came up to church, he was finishing the swimming leg. He'd been in the water just over an hour then. You can go to this website and you can follow him in the race. You don't actually see him necessarily on camera, but they give you placement about where he is. So where is he now, Jen? 30 miles out of 112 he is pedaling away after swimming for like an hour and a half. And then when he finishes the bike ride, he has a little run to wind up. And Priscilla.
They might also be interested to know that Andy is
in Boston. That's right. So there's lots going on. There's one in South Portland, the women's one. I don't know if any of you are aware of that. It's a triathlon for a cure. And I didn't know it was all women, so I'm watching it hoping to see Eric. And then finally comes on, there's 1,300 women in this event. I'm going, Eric, go for it, man. Today's your day. Anyway, so he's out in New York, and so Lord bless him, keep him safe. And the crew, that's just mind-boggling. He's been training for this. This isn't his first one. You know, I get winded walking up the hill. That tells you a lot, but anyway. So our summer series, what we started with, this is just a little review slide, what we've covered so far. And we looked at stewardship. We don't own anything. It's all on loan from God. It truly is. And I have to keep thinking about that just to keep reality in check. We talked about rest, what it means to stop and have rest. We talked back at July 4th about dependence and independence and how, especially when God's moved in our hearts, we found Christ as our Savior, we learn what it means to depend on God, to walk in total dependence on Him. And then a couple weeks ago, I looked at what I call the afterlife or heaven, thinking about heaven. And I have been thinking a lot about that with loved ones that, have already gone on to be with the Lord, and other people dealing with serious illnesses. You do have to think about it. What's going on with that? And then today, I put this up. This is our church website, and on our website, Don very graciously puts on the PowerPoint, the audio to the sermon, and the study notes. So if you've missed one or you want to review one and you have the internet, you can go and do that. There's also the calendar. You can check what's going on there. So just make use of that resource and let other people know that resource is there. To me, it's an important tool. It sounds funny, I like to review what I actually teach because I need it. I need God's word in my heart and life. So review is a very important principle for my attempting to learn and practice scripture. So today we're going to talk about waiting. Anyone been in traffic lately waiting? How far do you have to go to get into traffic to wait? Brunswick, summertime, Brunswick, Route 1. And Friday, Lois and I rode up to Damariscotta, and then coming back, we're going the right direction. When we hit Wiscasset, we were watching the northbound lane of Route 1, and it was backed up from the bridge at Wiscasset all the way back to the Ford garage. I'm going to say that's about 2 miles, maybe, something like that. Normal day going into Wiscasset, traffic. Some of you can relax in traffic, can't you? You put on some music, don't worry about it. Some people, their blood pressure starts going up. They're going up. Engine temperature may go up, blood pressure goes up. You have to learn how to wait graciously. Well, the Bible talks about waiting and timing. And so I've been going over some of this in my mind because I felt the Lord speaking to my heart. What does it mean to learn how to wait on God, to wait for the Lord, to know that God has timing? Waiting is a big part of normal life. If you have any medical issue and you go to the doctors, waiting is a part of normal life. It just is. I had to chuckle, though, because I sometimes drive my mom into the doctors, and we often wait between a half hour and an hour to see the doctor. But one day I had car trouble, so I was running a little late. Chris brought his car over. We're going in. We called them and told them we were running about 5 to 10 minutes late. And the receptionist went, "Well, you may miss your appointment. You need to be here on time." Now, we told them we were coming in, and we ended up, we were about 3 or 4 minutes late. It worked okay, but that was a blood pressure moment for me. Yeah, we can come in and sit an hour, but no, you can't be a couple minutes late because we're just going to keep on trucking. Anyway, it's a big part of normal life. Our culture is rapidly changing. I was fortunate enough to spend quite a lot of time with my mom's parents, Nat and Margaret Street, and they talked some about their life, what they grew up with. And then I, of course, watched my mom and dad and the life that they lived and what I'm living and now what my kids and grandkids. Our culture is changing. We want it later or now. When do we want it? Everything's right now. Most of us fuss, I do, when I turn on my computer and I wait for it to boot up or to load a program or my internet is slow because I want everything when? No, faster than that. I want it before I ask, you know. Alexa, all the phones go on. Siri, all the phones go on. I want something right now. We want it now. But that's not healthy, is it? Is it? You know, waiting, learning how to wait biblically is actually healthy. Learning how to wait biblically is actually good for us. You say, yeah, so is certain diets, but I don't do those either. Anyway, so God deals with time. And you know this, but God created time. God is outside of time. He creates the universe. He created planets. He created stars. Time is something that he has made for his purposes. He uses time for his purposes. Even though he is outside of time, he uses time for his purposes. And so for me and you who are in time right now, when we pass away, when we go to be with the Lord, we'll be outside of time to some extent. If I read Revelation correctly, though, even those that are already in heaven and outside of time are aware of the events to some extent on earth and are concerned about God's timing on earth. Think about that next time you read Revelation. And this is the one that messes with my head. God, who is outside of time, is still what? Patient. God, who could have anything he wants instantly, is patient. I have to chew on that a little bit. Why is he patient? Well, Scripture helps us. God is patient. Peter would write, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is what?" Those three words you need to read together. Patient with whom? Point to the person beside you. No, he's patient with me. God's patient, Peter says he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God is patient with Ron Parker. God is patient with you. And that is very important as we work together as a church, that we have to be patient with each other. God's patient with us, and that's quite a challenge. God is patient. And God's timing, this to me is one of the hardest things in life and in Scripture, is that God's timing is perfect, because we do not understand God's timing. God's timing is perfect. And when I was starting to chew on this concept, this is one of the first verses that came to my mind from Galatians 4, where Paul would write, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son." When was the fullness of time? By the corrected Gregorian calendar, it was 4 BC, right? That's when we, as best we can, estimate when Jesus came, 4 BC, because the calendar was off, they had to correct it. 4 BC was the fullness of time for Christ to come. That is just mind-boggling to me. It's 2,000 years ago, and yet all the things were in place for God's plan, for God's timing. Timing. Timing is everything. I've done enough mechanical work on engines, gasoline engines. I don't do a whole lot with diesel, but I worked in the shop with diesels, but I've worked at gas. So there's two kinds of timing in a gas engine. There's what they call mechanical timing and electrical timing, and both have to be correct for a motor to run. Timing is critically important. And if your computer in your newer car goes south and doesn't know how to time it, you will have a problem. Timing. God's timing is perfect. And that's, we have to remember that as you and I are struggling with the waiting process, because it is a process. God's timing includes what we call seasons. This is from Ecclesiastes, and I was growing up when this song was a number one hit. And I can't believe that Solomon thought this would ever make it top of the Casey Kasem's top 100, whatever it was, but it was. Who sang it? Who's old enough like me to know who sang this song? Huh? I thought it was the Birds. I didn't look it up, but Siri? Anyway. Yeah, who sang it? "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." Then it goes on and he describes all those things. God has a timing. He has a place for it. We don't understand timing. Our culture doesn't understand timing. We have young people that are becoming adults too soon. They are stepping into places of responsibility where they shouldn't too soon, because our culture doesn't understand timing. There is a timing. That's why our bodies age in a process. It's God's timing. There's a time. There's all these things are important. It's the way God designed it. So there's that part. So now hopefully that gives us a renewal or a better grip on God's timing. But then it's us. How are we patient? How do we wait for God? Micah, a prophet I don't usually run to when I'm just grabbing scripture to look at for edification, but there's some really good gems in Micah. And this is what he said at a time of Israel's dark history. "But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. I will wait." God has timing. You're in the Old Testament. You understand Jeremiah prophesies after 70 years of captivity, the people will come back. Daniel's in captivity, and he reads that, and he kind of figures it out, and he starts praying. And he says, God, we must be approaching the time for the captives to start returning. So we need to understand that God has timing all through the earth's history. He has timing for history now, so our part is to wait on him so we're in sync with him. We don't know who wrote this psalm, but I love this psalm, Psalm 130. It's all eight verses, so I put eight verses on the slides here. I don't know what this writer was going through, but I think most of us can relate to at least some, if not all, of this little psalm. So I'll read that now. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. It's a great little psalm. I would encourage you to become familiar with that. Wherever you are in your Christian walk, whether you're fairly new or you've been doing it for years, it's a great psalm to turn to. For I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. So the waiting, there's actually a process to that. In his word I hope. So we wait, we have to learn patience. Patience is part of waiting, right? And the fruit of the Spirit, when I try work with newer Christians, I sometime, hopefully early on, introduce them to these verses from Paul's letter to the church in Galatia. And because this is an important component of maturing in our Christian faith. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and we wish he'd stop there, but he doesn't. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Is self-control related to patience? I think so. I think they're at least first cousins, if they're not siblings. Self-control and patience. I am waiting for God's timing, his purpose and his timing. And if he hasn't let me know what that is yet, then I wait till he lets me know. But patient in what? You know, we spent a few days at Lois's brother. He has a beautiful in-ground pool. I was very relaxed just sitting either in or by the pool. I could wait there very easily. It was not hard. I wasn't waiting for anything. It was summer. We had nice weather. Patience wasn't part of it. But Paul to the church in Rome would write, rejoice in hope, be patient in what? What's tribulation? Not good. It's not sitting by the pool, no. Tribulation is some kind of a testing. It's a place of discomfort or pain. It is a tough spot. It is not the easy spot. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Romans 12:12. That's a good one to stick in your memory. It's a small verse, it's an easy verse. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation. Patient in what? Patient in tribulation, constant in prayer. So when I first started working on this, there were two verses that came to mind very quickly. The first one was, as I said, in the fullness of time, God sent his son. Just the right time. God had that all figured out. The other one was from Isaiah. And a couple days ago, maybe it was yesterday, I can't remember, but Lois and I were reading in the morning, and we read through the whole 40th chapter of Isaiah. It's a great chapter. Again, Isaiah is prophesying at a very troubled time of Israel's history. There's a lot of bad stuff happening, and yet God speaks into and through Isaiah some of the best passages in all of Scripture. And the 40th chapter is one of those amazing passages. So we're kind of jumping in the middle of the thought here, where we have the rhetorical question, have you not known, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow, not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But those who do what? Wait for the Lord, something happens. It isn't just waiting. What happens? They renew their strength. As I was going through these scriptures, it's almost like in my heart I'm going, it isn't just waiting. Something happens. Our strength is renewed. And it's a supernatural strength. It's not just, it does help us naturally, I believe. It energizes us physically too. But supernaturally, those who wait for the Lord, something happens. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So there you go, Eric, out there in the mountains of New York. Great verse. Even though you're pedaling, you shall run and not be weary. I have no idea how you do that. I don't know what your marathon is today. You may be in the middle of a marathon. It may feel like a financial marathon. Been struggling to make ends meet for a long time. You may be in a relationship marathon that's not going well, and you don't know how that's going to end. You may be dealing with a long-term illness or symptoms of it, or sometimes, I think the hardest, you've gone to the doctors and they can't figure out what it is. And so it's this waiting thing. And waiting can be very tiring, can be very draining. But that strength comes when you and I learn, and I believe is a learning process, how to wait for the Lord. We do that through prayer. We do it through meditating on Scripture. It is not Eastern so-called meditation. It is taking God's Word, maybe just a verse or two, and focusing on it and absorbing it. That's biblical meditation. And the strength in God's Word. It could be memorizing it. You don't always have to memorize it, but sometimes memorizing is good because then you can recall it when you need it. Christian music, for me, is a strength builder when I either sing or listen to it. Often it is. There's a lot of ways you can wait on God. Be patient and wait for God. I think of the psalmist, Psalm 49:10. He says, "Be still and know that I am God." There's a stillness when we're waiting biblically. So that to me is the key word. As I think about God's timing and waiting, is when Isaiah says, they will renew their strength. Their strength. It's beyond those circumstances. And when I read or hear other Christians' testimonies, if they've walked through the hard thing, they've gone through the valley with the family, and it's like, they're out of fuel. And then I read or hear something where they say, but you know, this scripture really gave me strength. Or this song really gave me strength. And so God does something in those moments. So the person said the thing that needed to be said that was biblical and gave them strength. There's a lot of ways that that happens. So we're gonna sing, not that, we already sang, "You are the everlasting God," but Christ is able. So he is able to renew your strength. As you and I learn the discipline of waiting on him, we will find that he is able to renew our strength. Amen? He is able still to save. Why don't you stand with us? And just a reminder, we are in A major, not A flat.
You offered an opportunity and somebody raised their hand. It doesn't matter who they were, but they accepted Jesus in that service. Yeah. And I remember, I think it was earlier this year or later last year, that somebody that's here today out in the fellowship told us that after a service, they accepted Jesus. And the angels rejoiced.
Yes.
Doesn't your heart leap when you hear that?
Yeah.
Somebody, he is able to save. He's doing it today. Amen. There are people today somewhere who are seekers who he's been calling and reaching out.
Yep.
And he picked one up.
Yep.
Amen. Doesn't that make your heart just rejoice?
Yes, it does.
He is able.
Amen.
And he's doing it.
Amen. And maybe there's someone here that's just not sure. It's like, boy, am I? Am I not? I don't know. You don't have to go home unsure. You can just say, "Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I can't save myself, but that's why you came." And you just pray silently, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me for my sins. I believe that's why you died on the cross.
to forgive me of my sins. Now I want to follow you, to know you. Please, Jesus, be my Savior. And you know something? If you pray that prayer silently, that's exactly what happens. Jesus comes into your heart through his Spirit, and you are a new person. You are born again. Hallelujah. And if you did pray that prayer, let somebody know, because we want to support you in that and pray for you and help you in that walk. Amen? Lord, we do worship you. You are a wonderful Savior. You know our hearts. You know the things that weigh us down or discourage us. But we come back to you because you are the only living water. You are the bread of life. You are the only light of the world. So we come to you. We are renewed in you by your Spirit. We are saying, you know, in our hearts we go, we don't like waiting, but we will wait for you because your timing is right. And you will renew our strength. That's your promise. I don't make this stuff up. That's what you said. We count on your word, and we also do it because we've already experienced your amazing faithfulness that you do hear and answer. Amen? So we receive your grace, and then as we go today, we'll probably today or tomorrow be around someone who's like, boy, life is just too much. It's overwhelming. We can say, well, this is where I found help. Jesus has helped me. He can help you. And so make us that reflection of your light. We are, you said, the light of the world, the salt of the earth. That's our responsibility to reflect that of you, Jesus. So bless us as we go. Amen? Well, you're dismissed. God bless your day. I hope you can spend some time with family. God bless your week. Here we go.